We have been doing a series on the minor prophets, and we're taking a couple-week break here before we complete that series to tie in with our communion service this morning and another event next week as CAC Choir comes to help us celebrate Christmas, and then we'll complete the series on the 15th of December. But this morning, I thought it'd be good for us to know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophets. And we see that in Matthew 5, 17, and 18. These prophets that we were looking at from the minor prophets were prophesying anywhere from about 650 to 450 years prior to the birth of Christ. But when all the prophecies are added up relating to him, they go back some 1,500 years before his arrival. They were all looking ahead to a time that they could not yet see. They looked into the future. Now, when Jesus arrived on the scene 500 to 1,500 years later, after the prophets had spoken about him, he declared these words. In verse 17, we read, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Lord, we ask that as we look and examine this short but potent statement of yours, that you would help us to both understand it and thereby to have application to our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my best friends back in Canada was a very aggressive young man and was hired by an auto parts company. He took over the position of sales manager when the company was selling about $1 million plus a year in auto parts. 5 years later, he had led that company to raise their piece of the market to the place where their sales were over $1 billion. He was rewarded handsomely for his goal setting and his ability to achieve his projections. Many people in business, whether it's those of you who have been given a special posting as expats or other places in the world, a businessman who is able to look ahead and chart his course, set projections, and reach them is usually rewarded handsomely, either financially or with other perks. The same is true in other areas of life. A sports player who declares, "I'm going to break the record this year," and then does it, usually is considered a hero. In education, someone who pursues their long-dreamed-of doctorate, finally gets it, well, we kind of party with them and celebrate the occasion. We honor them. In a similar way, psychics who publish their ideas of what might happen in the future or next year are usually given front-page coverage. So you may say, well, this kind of thing is happening in all these various arenas in life. What is so special about biblical prophets foretelling the future? Are we talking the same kind of thing? Well, throughout the ages, there has been a lot of confusion about what is and what is not genuine prophecy. What is genuine communication from the one true living God and what is not? Or even if there is such a thing. Nowadays, there are many people, you know this as well as I do, there are many people who are running around the world proclaiming that they are hearing from God or speaking on His behalf. How is it that you and I today can know who is telling the truth and who is simply a psychoceramic? You know what that is, don't you? Psychoceramic is a crackpot. How can we know the difference between who's telling the truth and who's merely telling us a pack of lies? Well, let's get real practical here. Is Jean Dixon speaking for God when she speaks and prophesies or gives her predictions about what's going to happen this coming year? How about Nostradamus? How about Joseph Smith? How about Billy Graham? How about Sun Myung Moon? How about Dave Petrescu? How do we know when someone is speaking on God's behalf if they really are representing God or if they're not? In these two short verses, Jesus installs two large guardrails on the highway of truth. And they are put there to preventing to prevent us from driving off that highway of truth into the ditches of deceit. There's two guardrails here. One guardrail is called not to abolish, and the other is called but to accomplish. Let's take a look at those guardrails. Read the passage again. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven or earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. The first guardrail that keeps us from going off the highway of truth into the ditch of deceit is not to abolish. The major problem the Jews had with Jesus is that they thought he was trying to change their God-ordained religion. He was doing things that they thought were unlawful, things like healing on the Sabbath. And he was teaching things that they saw were contradicting their traditions, like accepting sinners. As a result, these people were furious. They thought he was changing God's religion. I must admit, I wish more people today were as zealous as the Jews of old. Unfortunately, the zeal of the Jewish leaders was misdirected. They had become more concerned about their man-made traditions than about God's eternal truth. Their ideas, their interpretations, their insights, although supposedly based on God's word, had over time evolved and, in fact, replaced it. Now, if ever there was an apparent contradiction between what they believed in their tradition and what God had said in his word, they obviously chose their newest tradition or their newest interpretation. Have you ever noticed that the world is full of people today who act just like that? You ever notice that? Well, I don't need today to kind of itemize all the various world religions and cults who operate on this very system. But this is how they work. Many religious groups today claim to have their roots in the Scriptures, in the Holy Bible. And you can probably think of a whole bunch now this morning that I'm not going to take the time to name. These people will say that they believe the Bible. They will even affirm the prophets and Jesus. But then they add to it with new revelations, new truths, and new Scriptures. And although they say their writings are in harmony with the Bible, they always interpret the Bible in light of their new revelations, and thereby they significantly change the truth and the meaning of the original text. You can apply that principle across the board to so many religions and cults. The big question is, how do we know if this new revelation, this new prophet or prophetess, is really from God? Well, this is the guardrail. This is the first guardrail. Anyone truly sent from God will not abolish or change one single thing of what God has truly already spoken. You hear that? Anyone truly sent from God will not abolish or change anything that God has already spoken. I mean, if you think about it logically, reason it out. Will God lie? Will he say one thing one day and declare something else in total contradiction the next? That's not the God of the Scriptures. What God said 3,000 years ago is just as true today as when he first communicated it to humanity. God has no trouble telling the truth over the time frame of human history. And so everything he says, regardless of when he says it, will always dovetail, will always affirm that which was spoken before. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish any of the law or any of the prophets. As you examine the life of Jesus Christ, you discover how his life and his ministry were in 100% alignment with every single thing that God had previously made known, down to the finest detail. He fulfilled the law to the finest point, living in absolute holiness every single day of his human existence. He fulfilled the prophets, again, to the most incredible detail. The details of his birth, his lineage, his home locations, his childhood, his character, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, and his exaltation were all clearly laid out by the prophets. Again, against all odds, he fulfilled them. Not once did Jesus ever contradict anything in God's revealed word. Do you hear it? Not once. He fulfilled it. And that fact leads us to the second guardrail that keeps us on the highway of truth and out of the ditch of deceit. That second guardrail is named, but to accomplish. Look at verse 18. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. You notice how Jesus takes care to show the required accuracy of God's past revelation? He doesn't deal with it in sweeping broad terms. It is so precise, he says, that not even one stroke of the pen will go unfulfilled. Not even, in the English language, we would say, not even one dot over the I will be missed. That's pretty exact, wouldn't you say? And these words that Jesus spoke were in perfect accord with the standard that was set in the Old Testament. If you go to your Bibles to Deuteronomy 18, 19 to 22, you read this. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. You say, well, just a minute, that sounds pretty heavy. Why? You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? And he gives the answer. If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. Sounds pretty basic. The acid test, the litmus test of knowing whether a prophet is of God, is whether or not his prophecy comes true all the time. You may say, all the time? All the time. 1 Samuel 9:6 says, but the servant replied, look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Ezekiel 33:33, when all this comes true, and it surely will, then you will know that a prophet has been among them. Jeremiah 28:9, but the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if the prediction comes true. In other words, these are a smattering of the scriptures. In other words, anyone proclaiming to speak on God's behalf will have to have 100% accuracy. No mistakes, no missing the target by a few years or days, no win-some, lose-some track record. Not even 99% is good enough. When it comes to speaking on God's behalf, proclaiming His revelation, it must first of all be in 100% agreement with the law and the prophets, and then it must come true with 100% accuracy. I know what you're thinking. That's impossible. That's impossible. Who could do that? Only God can do that. Right. You got the point. Only God can do that. There's only one individual in the entire universe who can come up with that kind of 100% precision, who can speak throughout the entire scope of human history and have his every single word connected without contradiction and fulfilled to the finest detail. And who is that person? Good morning. Who is that person? God? Right. Who is it that did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them? Who said that every single word would be accomplished? What is his name? Jesus. Jesus fulfills the law. Jesus fulfills the prophets. And he is not just a transition. He is not just one more good man in a long line of others. He is the only one who has ever fulfilled the law. He is the only one who has ever fulfilled the prophets. He is the only one. The only one. Read my lips. Do you hear it? Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him. Come let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy. 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 Christ the Lord. We'll give Him all the glory. 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 Christ the Lord. Do you realize, friends, the foundation that you stand on this morning? Your faith is not some blind shot in the dark, some leap off a cliff. Your faith is founded and grounded in 100% historical accuracy. Do you realize that? If you are one who trusts Christ as their Savior, you have a rock-solid, firm foundation. Let's sing about that in closing this morning. Number 275 in your hymn books. Stand with me as we sing. I'm sorry. Will you please be seated? We're going to take a benevolent offering while we sing, okay? I'm sorry for that. Number 275.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Sometimes poets and hymn writers add words because they need the meter and rhyme to fit. The last line says, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That was not the reason why he wrote it this way. The reason he put that triple negative there is because it's scriptural. The same thing appears in the Bible where Jesus said in three double negatives that he would not in any way forsake those who know him. The same rock foundation of the life and ministry of Jesus that is built on the prophets, that same rock foundation, dear friends, is available to you and me who trust in Christ. And I declare with joy this morning that if your life has been entrusted into the care of Jesus Christ, then nothing, no nothing, no nothing will ever shake you. Amen? That's worth celebrating. Lord, we pray that as we leave this place this morning, as we go into this month of anticipation, as we walk through the Scriptures toward that first nativity, as we journey with you in preparing our hearts for the celebration of your arrival in flesh, we pray, O God, that again you would remind us of how rock solid our faith is, how absolutely sure in human history your intervention is, and how incredibly stable your promises, every one of them, are for us today. Lord, I pray that you will dismiss us with that awareness and with also the conviction to build our lives on this foundation this day and every day of our lives. Now unto him who has called you through Christ our Lord, unto him who will enable you to live according to his plan through the Holy Spirit, unto him, our eternal God, be honor and glory and power and majesty forever and ever and ever. Amen. God bless you.